Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. For something completely delightful, step away from your cubicle. Hello, listeners. It's delightful to be here. This is Bill Quinn, and it's November 21st, 2013. You're listening to Advanced Magazine Radio. And our article today that we are beginning is an innovation article, 3 days, Silicon Valley's Delight. And it begins on page 34 in your Advanced Magazine. And I had opened up our program by saying, for something delightful, for a delightful experience, step away from your cubicle. We'll find out what that means in just a moment. But first, let me get to my panelists who are here in the studio joining me for this 3-day article. First, off to my left, Amanda Young Pierre.
Hi, Bill, and hi, listeners. Yeah, as you said, it is delightful to be here.
Delightful to have you,
thank
Amanda.
You.
You're actually kind of a delightful person.
Why, thank you, Bill.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Now, did you find this article delightful?
I did. I found it interesting in just how a word comes into be very popular and how people use it every day. Because I'm one of those people that tend to do that. I have a word,
really?
I use it for a season,
okay.
And then a new word.
You're kind of like a pop culture person.
I am. Yes.
Hmm.
Okay. I enjoy pop culture, and I enjoy seeing the effects of pop culture.
Okay. All right. So this article is a mixture of things. It's not just about technology, but it also is a lot about even psychology, consumer behavior, and also, you know, what people do as far as naming things, using terms to describe things. Certain terms do become popular for a while. They're the hot words, and then they just fade away. And they become kind of a joke later that
right.
We use them. So we'll talk about some of the old ones that we don't use anymore here in a moment. But also here in the studio is Simon Stops. Hello, Simon.
I'm delighted to be here, just like Amanda. Just
delightful
like you,
to
Bill.
Have you. Yeah.
What a delight. What a delight to be here discussing a delightful article about
yes.
some of my favorite things.
That's delightful to hear. And I think I better stop with the delightful stuff, or our listeners are going to get tired of hearing that word. Anyway, Silicon Valley's delight. You like to follow things like this, and as far as like verbiage and things as far as that come in and out of favor?
I don't know about so much verbiage, but I do find things like you know, things that are going on in Silicon Valley and technology and innovation, I find all of that very interesting.
Yeah.
And this article is really about sort of one of the newest trends we see in product development. And so I think people who read this article, a lot of our listeners, they'll be able to think about examples of this kind of stuff as they read through the article.
Yeah. All right. Now, I had mentioned as far as some, you know, old terms that might have been used that were popular before. What, give an example, let's give a couple of examples for our listeners of some terms before.
You mean sort of business terms that have been popular?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me one.
I think the one that immediately comes to mind for me is think outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, it was very popular. We told everyone to think outside the box. And
all right.
Now that's a new box, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not used so much anymore.
Yeah.
To be creative, to use ideas different from the way everybody else is thinking. Think outside the box.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. The normal parameters of things. Give me one, Amanda.
Well, just what Simon said made me think there was another thinking usage, which was think brilliantly.
Think brilliantly.
Mm-hmm. And that was used a lot as well.
Okay, but we're not thinking brilliantly anymore.
We are possibly not.
All right. Maybe we've shifted our paradigm.
Well, that's another one,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So shift the way that you think and shift the boundaries that you use as far as how you think and decide.
Yeah, I think it's not so much that these ideas have gone away, right? It's more that we don't use the phrase so much anymore.
Right.
Right. Well, I find it actually kind of funny whenever I will read articles on the internet or in the newspaper, especially on the internet, when I read articles about technology, it seems like there's almost this effort by people to come up with new terms to describe the same old thing. And It just almost seems like a competition. Who can come up with a new term? It's just the same thing, but they're just coming up with a new term.
Right.
Yeah. So anyways, we're talking about Silicon Valley's delight. And actually, this is a lot about consumer behavior. So a fascinating article. And I hope you have your red pen out to underline words or your yellow highlighter to highlight them. There's a lot of great vocabulary in here, not just the bold printed words, but there's so many great words and idioms and things like that in here. So be ready. We'll break down our reading into three sections today. The first reading will be the left column down to line 20.
Silicon Valley's delight. Developers in the Valley step away from the cubicle and try to understand consumers' desires. Ask Joshua Reeves about his online payroll service, and the last thing he'll want to discuss are its features and all that cold jargon that usually comes pouring out of the mouths of Silicon Valley engineers. No, what Reeves really cares about is what he hopes you will feel when you use Zen Payroll Incorporated. Delight. Yes, delight. A squishy, subjective term. So daringly unquantifiable, so proudly immeasurable. And suddenly, it's all the rage in data-driven Silicon Valley. The word is a legacy of Steve Jobs, the Apple Incorporated co-founder, who often spoke of wanting to surprise and delight people. Jack Dorsey, co-founder of Twitter, wants his company's products to delight the world. Instagram co-founder Kevin Systrom suggests, if you delight people even a little bit with a simple solution, it turns out it goes very far.
Okay, Silicon Valley's delight. And what does our deck say?
Developers in the Valley step away from the cubicle and try to understand consumers' desires.
Okay. Cubicle.
Cubicle. That is the place in the office where many people sit and have their desk. Some people have an office and it has walls, but a cubicle does not, or has semi-walls.
Okay. We sometimes call this a cell.
Like for jail.
C-E-L-L.
Yes.
Right?
Well, yes, although in my experience, the cell has a lot less objects.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, all right. I'm just kidding, listeners, as far as a cell. But it seems like a cell. Cubicles are this thing that everybody thought was a great idea back in the 70s and 80s to fill offices up. But that, actually, we used to have just desks in a big room. And then what they did is they put partitions up in between all of these desks. And so then everybody had their own little space, and it was all designed. The idea was that, well, now that we've got our own little space, we'll be more productive because we won't be interrupting each other as much, and we'll have our own privacy and quiet. Of course, they did not foresee Facebook coming along decades later, so out went productivity. Now, all right, but these developers in the Valley, in Silicon Valley, are trying to get people to step away from this thing. Most people have a negative view of cubicles, right, Simon?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I like my cubicle. But yeah, I think people kind of think of offices when they think of cubicles and being in the office, sort of being at work. And I think when they say step away from the cubicle, what they're really talking about is kind of leaving your workspace or leaving your office and seeing what real life is like.
Yeah.
Because they're saying step away from the cubicle to try to understand consumers' desires. So the things that consumers or people who are buying products really want.
Sure. If we spend all day sitting in our cubicle, we, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours, we kind of lose touch with reality. We just, that becomes our world then. And we can actually lose touch with our customers, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, How do we start, Amanda?
Well, we're introduced to an individual, and his name is Joshua Reeves, and he has an online payroll service. And we continue on to hear about his feelings of words.
Okay. Now, payroll service is a lot of companies in America, what they will do is they'll contract out to other firms that actually just do the payroll. Payroll is kind of a cumbersome task in America as far as all of the tax reporting. That's the biggest problem, having to comply with the IRS. And so that's why a lot of employers will use payroll services mainly for tax compliance. If they aren't compliant with the taxes, then they have to pay a lot of penalties. So that's why they would use a payroll service. It's convenient. But we're talking about Joshua Reeves, and what is the last thing he wants to discuss?
Well, it says he doesn't want to talk about cold jargon. And usually when we use that word jargon, we're talking about very technical terms or technical language. Mm-hmm. I guess the idea being he might be an engineer, but he doesn't want to have a conversation about the engineering of his website. Instead, yeah. He wants to talk about something else.
Hmm. Right. Well, that's true because you can give all the details of things, but a lot of times when you use jargon, you lose people, right? They become kind of bored in a way. They kind of drift off.
Right. Well, usually because they don't understand the words you're using. Mm-hmm. So he says here, it usually comes pouring out of the mouths of Silicon Valley engineers. You know, when you have one or two people or two or three people together that have the same occupation and they know the same words,
right.
They'll have a conversation. And if there's another person there that's not in that occupation or doesn't know the jargon, then they feel left out.
Yeah, they get lost. Well, what does he care about?
Well, he cares about delight. And are any of us surprised?
No. Oh,
he cares about delight. That's what he wants to talk about. He wants people to feel delight when they use his website.
Okay. Well, the company is called Zen Payroll. That's the name of his company. Delight. They want to associate delight with Zen Payroll. Yes, delight. And how do we get into this describing delight?
Yeah, we use some interesting words to describe the word delight. It says a squishy subjective term. Now, squishy is an interesting word. It's usually to do with if you think of a sponge and it's very soft and it bounces back, anything like that is squishy. The texture bounces back. And subjective means it's usually determined by your feeling, your emotion, or your opinion.
Okay. And then we go on to describe it even further.
Yeah, it starts to get kind of hard, this description. Hey, it says it's daringly unquantifiable. And daring, of course, means you're bravely doing something. Unquantifiable means you can't measure it.
Right.
And so the idea is like you might say you feel delight about something, but I might not feel quite so happy about it, right? Mm. And so delight means different things to different people.
And we see immeasurable there at the end of that sentence, but why would we say proudly in front of that?
Well, I guess the idea is that that's kind of the good thing about delight.
Mm-hmm.
Different things make different people feel really good, right?
Yeah, yeah. I can't be easily defined.
Right.
So that's why I'm proudly immeasurable. This is like kind of mysterious in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And suddenly, it's all the rage in data-driven Silicon Valley. All the rage.
All the rage means it's popular right now. Everywhere you go, that's the thing you're going to hear. Yeah, very popular.
All right. Who can we blame for this?
Steve Jobs.
All right.
Goodness.
There we go.
Yeah. It says this is the legacy of Steve Jobs, this word. From Apple, of course,
right. The
co-founder. Yeah. And I guess it comes from him because he often spoke of wanting to surprise and delight people with Apple's products.
The word delight, of course, existed before Steve Jobs used it in this way, right? But it seems like at least in the last 5 or 10 years of his career, anything that Steve Jobs uttered then became etched in stone as some memorable statement. And so when he came out and said he wants to surprise and delight people, of course, everybody would latch on to this. And that's what happens, right? People want to latch on to what the icons in the industries or the particular fields say.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. But you'll remember, too, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, when people talked about product development or new products, usually they were talking about useful, things being useful. Like, you know, you'd have a product like a phone, and then they would add a clock because a clock is very useful, right? But it's really not about, you know, making people happy or changing their lives for the better. Yeah. And I think that's what Steve Jobs was talking about here, not just making things that have a purpose or that are useful, but making things that, you know, people really enjoy the thing itself, the light.
Yeah, there's a difference between saying it's functional or it's delightful.
Yeah.
So, all right. And Steve Jobs isn't the only one, wasn't the only one that used this term. Who else was using it?
Well, Jack Dorsey, the co-founder of Twitter, also has taken on this word delight. He wants his company's products to delight the world.
All right. And who else?
Kevin Systrom, who, of course, is from Instagram. He says, if you delight people even a little bit with a simple solution, it turns out it goes very far.
Okay. Well, here we go. I guess it all started then with Steve Jobs saying surprise and delight. It became a catchphrase for many of the people in Silicon Valley. Let's move into our second reading for today.
Embracing a new concept. In the surest sign that delight may be on the cusp of morphing from insurgent idea to overused buzzword, Microsoft Corporation in Washington and Dell Incorporated in Texas have embraced it. It's the corporate equivalent of parents joining Facebook, making it instantly uncool. In all our work with partners and on our own devices, we will focus relentlessly on delivering delightful, seamless experiences across hardware, software, and services, Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer wrote in the company's annual shareholder letter.
Embracing a new concept.
We see in the surest sign that delight may be on the cusp of morphing in from insurgent idea to overused buzzword. Wow. Okay.
This whole sentence has got to be underlined and highlighted.
That's correct. For instance, in the surest meaning in the most positive, most sure way that delight is becoming, is on the border of changing from a word that nobody wanted to use into a fashionable word that everyone wants to use.
That was really well done.
Thank you, Bill.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Can you top that? Do you have anything else to add to that sentence?
No, I can't.
Okay.
I think it's interesting, though, because each of these terms that Amanda has sort of clarified for us now, each of these terms is actually pretty useful on their own. Like that phrase, the surest sign, that's used all the time. It just means the most clear indication or the clearest suggestion that something's going to happen, right?
Right.
So you say, like, the surest sign that the light is going to turn red is that little green man, you know, running to tell you to hurry up and cross the street, right?
Yeah.
You can use this kind of expression everywhere. And then that phrase cusp, the word cusp there, on the cusp, something about to happen, right? Very, very, I guess, big when people are talking about change in their lives, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, all very useful terms.
All right, Amanda did a great job defining them. So morphing, changing, insurgent, being something we use to define somebody or something that is rebellious against the current authority. And then, of course, buzzword just being a popular phrase that people are using. This is interesting. This is the surest sign then the next part of this sentence, because after buzzword, that's a comma saying, well, the surest sign of this is what?
Well, they're saying the surest sign that something is going from being rebellious and new to being established
old.
And overused, old, right? And the surest sign of that, this is interesting, of course, is that they're saying Microsoft and Dell have started using this word.
Ooh.
Not Microsoft.
I mean, that's not me saying not ooh, Dell. But a lot of the tech geeks, right, cool people would say, oh, Microsoft and Dell, they aren't as cool as all of the great startups, right? And so now if these older established firms are using these terms, we don't want that anymore.
That's it. That's exactly it. And so it says they've embraced this idea. Oh. They've accepted it. They've decided to make it part of what they're doing. And so it says here, it's a very funny sentence. It says, it's the corporate equivalent, so the same thing in the business world, of parents joining Facebook, making it instantly uncool.
I mean, I think we've all seen that example of where parents try to join Facebook and their kids, like, unfriend them.
Or don't accept them in the first place.
Or don't even accept them. And then the parents are like, well, why don't you accept my friend, you know, my friend invite? And they're like, oh, I don't want you to see it and everything.
I don't want my friends to see it.
All right. So that's a great sentence right there. That's a loaded sentence, and you can use a lot of the terminology that's in there. Now, we hear from Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer here in the next paragraph.
Yes, he says, in all our work with partners and on our own devices, we will focus relentlessly on delivering delightful, seamless experiences across hardware, software, and services. So this was written in the company's annual shareholder letter, and they have used the word delightful in there to describe what they're hoping consumers will experience.
Okay, they actually put this in print to all of their shareholders, relentlessly.
Means without stopping, without giving up. Okay. And so they're going to focus on this, and they are not going to stop focusing on making things delightful.
All right. We normally don't associate Microsoft and delightful, but they're working on that. Seamless
means that we can't see any cracks or separation between things, that the user will feel it's a very smooth experience.
All right. Well, if they can do that, then maybe their products will become delightful.
I guess they hope so anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's their goal. We don't know if they're just using a catchphrase or if they actually will be implementing this. That we'll only find out here in the future. Okay, let's have our third reading for today.
Can the valley change? On the surface, delight seems so goofily Californian, a spacey New Age notion that it practically begs to be mocked. Hold the eye rolls, however, because underneath the suspicion that it's just some new marketing babble, the talk of delight signals a radical shift in the way Silicon Valley creates products. Someone invoking the principles of delight is saying that when thinking about making a product, what should come first is not the technology, but the people it is intended to serve.
Can the valley change?
What valley, I suppose, is the first question here, and I guess the answer obviously is Silicon Valley. And I guess what they're talking about in terms of change here is really just that idea of going from making things that are useful and technically excellent to things that make people really happy and delightful.
Yeah.
And it has, in the first paragraph here, it talks about how on the surface, delight seems so goofily Californian. That term on the surface is interesting. It means just when you first experience it or when you first hear it, you think, wow, that's pretty goofy. That's
right.
Very much like California. Now, I'm not an American, so Bill, you're going to have to explain why California would be goofy.
Well, in some ways, California has always been on the cutting edge of things, and trends in America start on both coasts, East Coast or West Coast. So they're starting either in California or in New York. And historically, it's always been, well, sophisticated trends start in New York, modern trends start in California, and just free thinking. Free thinking starts in California, so that's why we would say goofily. We're never surprised by what comes out of California. Mm. And actually, many of these things then become mainstream that initially seem goofy or like silly, funny, strange. So that's why we say goofily California. This is like, oh, so California. They come up with this stuff that's just like silly.
So that's also why they're saying a spacey new age notion or idea. Right,
right.
Okay.
So, spacey being, oh, like I'm thinking of the universe, new age. I'm thinking about being out in the stars, and I came up with a new operating system. That's the kind of, you know, you would not hear that at MIT.
Okay. Mm. And so that's why it practically begs to be mocked or teased, made fun of.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So when you hear something like that, You want to make fun of it. You're like, gee whiz, this guy's really silly and this is ridiculous. I can't believe he even says something like that. So that's something that you mock, something like that. You put it down.
Yeah, because I guess if you think about it, of course companies want people to like their products, enjoy their products,
yeah.
Feel delight, right?
Right.
Right.
It almost goes without you having to say it. Hmm. You want people to like the things you make.
Yeah. So and part of this, you know, some people might hear this and they might want to mock it, or we go into this next paragraph with something else.
Right. They're saying, wait to mock it, hold the eye rolls, which means wait a little bit before you roll your eyes. And when we roll our eyes, usually it means that we think it's a silly idea or we don't agree with it. And it's saying, wait for that, because underneath the suspicion that it's just some new marketing babble, new marketing talk, there actually may be something about this word that really will change Silicon Valley.
Speaking of a word, I like babble. It's kind of a funny word because babble is just almost like senseless talk. We say, oh, he's just babbling. That's like when somebody's just talking, nobody's listening, it doesn't make sense. So, but we also see here after the comma that the talk of delight signals what, Simon?
A radical shift. And That whole phrase is interesting. When something signals something, it means, again, it suggests it's going to happen or indicates it's going to happen. And then we have a radical shift, which means a huge change,
mm-hmm.
a very big change. And in this case, the big change is in the way Silicon Valley creates products.
Okay. Someone invoking the principles of delight is saying that when thinking about making a product,
what should come first is not technology, but the people it is intended to serve. So earlier, Simon talked about in the past, Silicon Valley using the word useful. Now it's saying we're going to shift from there to actually asking, oh, what do the people want? What will make them happy? What will delight them?
Okay. There's one word I underlined here. It's important. I'll tell you why tomorrow. But invoking means what?
It means mentioning, really, or mm-hmm. or calling into use something.
Okay, they are using the word or phrase to produce an outcome. Well, I'll tell you why I underline it, because later in this article we get the word evoking, E-V-O-K-I-N-G. That is then getting the outcome. Invoking is using something to create an outcome. Evoking is when you actually do produce and get that outcome. So we have invoking and evoking in this article, a rare performance, a rare appearance by both of those words in the same article.
It's true.
All right. Listeners, come on back tomorrow. We'll see you then.